I'd ask you if you would. We're going to look at we're going to hear a message this morning called A Glimpse of Glory. A Glimpse of Glory. And so that we might jump into that, I'd ask you to turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Revelation, to the fourth chapter. We're going to look at Revelation 4, verse 1 following. We're going to read a little bit, and then we're going to go to Revelation 21. As you're getting settled there and looking, we'll have you stand in just a moment in honor of the reading of the Word of God, if you're able. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard, but it'll be somewhat similar. When we get to the book of Revelation, a book that contains so many different ideas and principles, first of all, the messages to the churches, John the Beloved, one of the apostles, one of the disciples, is later in his years when God reveals to him, after the Gospel of John has been completed, the writing of the book of Revelation. As we get to the fourth chapter, we're through the messages, seven messages to the churches. I ask you to stand, if you will, in honor of the reading of the Word of God as I read and share, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 4. John says, "And after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice that I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet, speaking to me, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things.'" Now, before I read verse 2, what we basically are getting here, John is giving us a glimpse of some of, just a little tiny glimpse of some of what goes on in heaven. As we look at a glimpse of glory, we go to verse 2. He said, "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone, and a sardis in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance." Verse 4 says, "Around that main throne, there were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw the 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their head. On the throne, from the throne," in verse 5 it says, "came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne," verse 6, "there was a sea, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature," it says, "was like a lion. The second, like a calf. The third creature had a face like that of a man. And the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings," we're in verse 8, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say." Now, we've had all this description of what's going on. We're going to sit in just a second. We're going to read one other passage. We're not going to take the time this morning to try to explain to you what all these are, but here we see what they're doing. The living creatures, it says, are saying day and night, all the time, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, who is, and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor to thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever, it says that the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they worship Him and forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, Lord, and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things. Because of You, and because of Your will, they existed and were created." Now I'm asking you to be seated. Now I'm going to ask you to turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. In that first glimpse, we just got an amazing picture. It would take more time than I have this morning to explain to you about the elders, and we'll do that at some point, and the thrones. But the main throne is He, our God, upon the throne. When we get to Revelation 21, John has been given a vision of what will come, what is to come in the future, and we never know when, maybe today. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. He said, I saw the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, and this is the good news in this part of the passage, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. To tabernacle means to be in the midst of. When it says that God is tabernacling among men, God is in their midst in a special way. And it says, He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. Now, I like this part because we've seen this. This is things that happen in heaven. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There'll no longer be any mourning or crying or pain for the first things that passed away. And Him who sits on the throne said, behold, I'm making everything new. He's saying, I'm making everything new, everything better. And He said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And then He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son, or they will be my children. What a beautiful, but somewhat difficult, really, to fully comprehend picture of heaven. Oh, it is a place of indescribable beauty. It speaks of jasper walls and crystal sea. I know that many of us, you know, we're living in the generation, some of you that are much, much older than me, and then some of you younger than me will understand. The older crowd may not. Nowadays, we don't call it jewelry anymore. We call it bling. And I've got some bling on. I do. I've got a gold cross around my neck, and, you know, they got bling. You know what's so interesting? We think gold is so valuable. And in describing heaven, you know what God says He did with the streets? What are the streets made of? What are the streets out there made of? Asphalt. That's how valuable gold is to God. It's just paving material. Ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine? Boy, if we had a street paved with gold, we would think everything up there is paved in gold. That's no big deal. That means it's so much greater than anything we can imagine. It is a place of indescribable, unbelievable peace. No tears. Tears of sorrow, tears of anger, tears of joy. No tears, no pain. I don't know about you, but Arthur's catching me. Amen? He's doing it quickly along with other things. No wars, no murders, no child molesters, no sin, and no terrible cost of sin. And a place of thrones. It said that there's one main throne, and then the 24 elders. There's a belief among many folks that 12 of those thrones belong to the leaders of the tribes of Israel, and the other 12 to the apostles. It's open to conjecture. But they're there, and they're worshiping the Lord. And from Abraham, the patriarch, all the way to John the Revelator, there was in them what needs to be in us. And that was a sense of wanting more than just a glimpse of glory. You know, to read this gets me excited because it helps me to understand that this whole world, and the world can be a good place, but it also be an awful place, is just my temporary home. You know, my father is 88 and going to turn 89 possibly this year. And I tell folks, now, don't take this wrong. I don't want to live that long. Well, some of you may be 88 and you say it's wonderful. Listen, I want to get on to glory. I do. That may seem weird to you if I live that long. Fine, I will. But I'm ready to go because I get excited that I'm going to get more than a glimpse of glory. I want us to take some time this morning to think about the present and the future. You see, when you talk about heaven, and I scare some folks, they say, You talk about going to heaven a lot. Folks, I'm ready. Listen, I'm going to say it again. It's going to get me in trouble. If you hear this afternoon that I went on to glory, Rose is going to be wealthy, and I'm going to be even happier than I've been. Okay? Amen? Now, man, I didn't say Rose was going to be happy. She better not be, all right? More than a glimpse of glory. When we talk about heaven, it's usually something where we're talking about, you know, well, when I get to heaven someday. Well, folks, to be honest with you, the Scripture teaches us that none of us know. It says to number your days, you don't know when your number is going to be up. You may step out of here tomorrow, today, and your number's up. The God may send His angel of death to come and get you. Or maybe we, even before this service ends, and I did that one place, and one fellow in the back said, I sure hope so, amen. I said, maybe before this service ends, that the church will be raptured and we'll be gloriously changed and in the presence of the Lord. It can happen. And so we need to think about heaven. What a difference it would make in our lives if we lived earth-dwelling but heaven-bound. Earth-dwelling, but heaven-bound. One of the first things that would change when we realize that we're dwelling here, but I'm heaven-bound. I like the old preacher that said, I'm saved, but I'm getting saveder and saveder. I kind of like that. I like listening to the Gaithers from time to time, and I catch myself singing it. I'm dreaming of a city called glory. Or I'm thinking about home. Just thinking about going, or it's supper time. JKS. And I think of that. And you know, that's not strange. If we knew that today you and I might be in glory, and if we lived every day as if we're bound for glory, it probably would change our priorities. It should. We'd quit worrying about all the mess that we worry about. You see, Jesus said, don't worry. But some of you, you don't know, because we all do it. It's a sin to worry. He said, why do you worry? What does worry add except to your doctor bill? Amen? He said, if the Lord will take care of the sparrow, and if He can make a flower as beautiful as it is, He'll look after you and I. It would change our priority that we're living earth-dwelling, but heaven-bound. And Jesus taught us to do just that. You see, we wouldn't be in that rat race that everybody's in to try to see if I can get as much as I can, because I got news for you, I've told you before, there are no U-Hauls behind hearses. You cannot take it with you. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, you don't need to turn. He said, make your treasure, place your treasure in heaven and not on earth, because here on earth it'll either rot, it'll rust, or somebody will steal it. Amen? He said, but if you'll plant treasures, how do you plant treasures in heaven? Just sending up treasures all the time. When you're living the Christian life, you're sending up treasure all the time. You really are that. And living earthly bound, dwelling but heaven bound. His name is Norman Miller. You may have something that Norman Miller really helped own in your car. An Interstate Battery. Norman Miller is the CEO of Interstate Batteries. Norman Miller came to know Christ. And it changed everything about him. His business suddenly changed. And Norman Miller is a multimillionaire who has Bible studies at his CEO central office every day, every week. He has prayer meetings. Now, you say, well, what if somebody doesn't want to come? Well, that's okay. But what he says is, I need to be focused on heaven 100% of the time. He said, I'm trying to make sure that I leave not a legacy for me, but of Christ. What about you? Where's your focus? What are you worried about today? Well, at 3 o'clock we got to gather for a time for us. It is sad. We're going to miss somebody that we honored last Sunday. Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you now, and I'll probably remind you again if you come at 3, if Marcia had a choice, she wouldn't come back. She wouldn't. She would not come, as much as she loves you, she wouldn't come back. She's in a great place. She was one of those people that was earthly dwelling, but heaven bound. And it changed her focus. If we live like that, you would see your daily focus change. You quit worrying about what the Joneses have. I remember that old country song, "We're So Busy by," I think it, there was Waylon Jennings. "We're so busy keeping up with the Joneses. We've got 5-car garage and we're still at home." And he says, "Let's get back to Lukenbach, Texas, for Waylon and Willie and the boys, where life was simpler. Earthly dwelling, but heaven bound." When we live with heaven on our minds, we will look at our earthly possessions differently. Because Jesus said that when you stand before Him, and every one of us will stand as a believer or an unbeliever before the throne of Christ, and when we come into His glory, all that stuff that we thought was important is just going to disappear. Dr. Francis Schaeffer, one of the great theologians of our time, one of the great men of God, said that the heaven is full of ash heap Christians. Things that they thought were so important here on earth that when they got in the presence of the Lord, they just disappeared. They were nothing. And all they got was, the scripture says you'll get in, but you won't get everything God had planned for you. It says that you're building your life upon wood, hay, or stubble, or upon the rock. It'll change our focus on possessions. When we live with heaven on our minds, we'll see people as Jesus sees them. Now let's just have an old witness testify time, okay? You won't do it. And if you say me, the only one in here who could say me today would be Tammy. Tammy, I'm not picking on you. And I'm getting ready to ask, is there anybody in here who's irritated you today? And I try to irritate Tammy every chance I get, okay? We just got that kinship. Now you say it's just something we do, okay? It's okay. Don't be mad with me. Don't raise your hand at somebody you're irritated. Well, you're irritated and asking me that question. Do you realize that everybody ever created was created imago Dei in the image of God? Now your own children, your wife, others can just irritate you, and we can look at them. We can look at people. I'm really sad for the family of Jerry Sandusky. Jerry Sandusky was a very successful football coach at Penn State University, but Jerry Sandusky, somewhere in his nature, became a monster and molested children. Folks, if that man doesn't come to know Christ, and I don't believe he knows Christ, he's going to spend eternity in hell. And some people will say, well, he deserves it. I want you to understand this. Sin is sin, whether it's the sin of gossip or it's the sin of child molesting. You say, well, that's worse. Not necessarily. I know some lives that have been destroyed by gossip, just like those children's lives have been destroyed. We need to see people as Christ saw them. There are two types of people in this world. And one is not necessarily better than the other. That's the believer and the unbeliever. You say, well, what's the difference? The believer is someone who by grace and by the love has accepted the love of Christ. That the Jesus who is in heaven came to earth, gave himself on Calvary's cross so that we might have the opportunity to go to heaven. That's the believer. And if you're a believer today, you are earthly dwelling, but you're heaven bound. You are heaven bound. I remember reading about a black minister who preached for an hour and a half, and all he did is he talked about brother so-and-so had crossed the Jordan because he got his ticket punched by the king. And he just went on and on. And what he had done is he took a little obscure Old Testament passage where you had to have permission to cross the Jordan. You had to have permission from the king. And he just went on with it and on with it and on with it. Listen to that. And I thought, man, that's it. I thank God that at 9 years old, nothing I did, I gave my hand to the pastor and my heart to the master. And I had my ticket punched for glory by the king. Now look at me. If I can go, you can go also. But I guarantee you this. I'd be willing to bet money that there's somebody in this place today that all you're going to get, or all you've gotten so far, is a glimpse of glory. You've heard about the streets of gold and the jasper walls, but that's all you've gotten. Why? Because you don't have a personal relationship with Christ. Most people, when you speak to them about that, say, well, I know Jesus. Let me give you some bad news instead of good news. The demons knew who Jesus was. The devil knows who Jesus is. People that don't believe in it know who Jesus is. Knowing Jesus won't get you into heaven. Having said, Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sin and come into my life, will get you into heaven. Now, I know we live in a world where everybody loves to say, well, wait a minute now, preacher. Oprah and some of these others have said that there's more than one way to heaven. Well, there are some people that believe that. But you know what? I just believe God. I just believe God. And God said that in the book of Acts, He said that the only way to me is through my Son. Now, if that's not the truth, God lies. And some say, well, that's how you Christians get there. No, God didn't say that this is the way Christians get there. He said the only way to heaven, the only way, is through my Son and His shed blood. I'm going to ask you today, we're all heaven bound. I mean, we're all earthly dwelling, but are you heaven bound? It's decision time. I'm going to live my life earth-dwelling, but heaven-bound. Lately I've been dreaming, and I've got leaving on my mind. Listen, with the day I go, I'm still trying to plan my funeral. Now, I'm going to have some fun with you. I want my coffin to have one of those trip things, you know, like you go in Walmart and you go through the little light and start jingle bells, and about the third time you want to take a shoe off and break that thing. But I want one that tells jokes. When you walk by my funeral, go, doesn't he look good? No, I don't, I'm dead! You think, well, that's morbid. No, I want it just to, why? Because I want it to be a celebration, because you see, I'm earthly dwelling, but I'm heaven bound. And if you're a believer, you are too. Don't walk around like I see some Christians walk around. They got to look like they've been sucking on lemons. I don't mean to irritate them, but something in me just wants to irritate them. I want them to know the joy of the Lord. Yes, life, listen, life stinks. Life for Marcia and brothers like her stunk for a while. But it's just something we got to go through. We go through. We are earthly dwelling, but heaven bound. Maybe you're here today and you go, well, I've never made that decision. I'm going to give my life today to Christ. In just a few moments, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. And that's the time when you can say, I want what you got. I want that Jesus that you have. It's very, very simple. You just need to bow your head. You can do it right now. You don't even have to bow. And just say, Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart. And before you can finish the word heart, He's already there. Or you can walk out that door in just a moment. And all you ever got was a glimpse. Well, I want you to know that I dream in my dreams of a city called glory. Let's pray just a moment. Father, I pray that if there's anybody here that's a believer, that's forgotten, that they're just earthly dwelling, but they're heaven bound, that they'll leave here today with a little spring in their step, that they'll realize that as bad as this world can be, it's going to get better. If there's somebody here, Lord, today, that today is the day they're going to make that decision public, that I've accepted Christ,
And I've asked him into my heart, and now I'm earthly dwelling. And I'm just, Lord, if there's somebody here that all they want is a glimpse, I pray that you'll change their mind. Because all they'll get is a glimpse of glory and never the real thing. Be with us, Lord. Be with me as I dream of a city called glory. Amen. A place of indescribable beauty.
I dreamed of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, "Holy!" All the angels, they all met me there. They took me from mansion to mansion. And all the sights I saw,
but I think angels,
I want to see Jesus, for he's the one who died for all. I bowed on my knees and cried,
raise my hand. Big glory.
the way to get more than a glimpse of glory. Amen. Father, we're going to have a time of invitation now. And Lord, I just pray that if there's somebody here, maybe in the quietness of their home or some other place, they've made that wonderful decision to ask Jesus into their heart. Lord, this place is full of believers. And it won't hurt our feelings if you just step on the clouds of glory right now and call your church home. We'll go and we'll glory in that. Father, I just pray as we come in this time of invitation that we'll pray for ourselves. We'll make sure. I know that if I were to lose my life, earthly life today, that I will step instantaneously into the presence of my Savior and my Lord. Amen. I'm going to be down front. You've got a decision that you'd like to make public. It's a private decision first, but Jesus didn't die privately on the cross. He died publicly on the cross. He didn't make His resurrection a private thing. He made it a public thing. And that's what He's doing for us. He's saying, I want you to, if you're not ashamed of me, just come and say, if you've made that decision or you want me to come and pray with you how to do that, we can do that. It's very simple. For those of you that are believers, live this week and every day, knowing we're earthly dwelling, but we're heaven bound. And maybe this afternoon or sometime tonight when you close your eyes, you'll dream of a city called glory.